I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Welcome to the symposium. Today it's a celebratory episode. We are celebrating the 40th installment of the series, and we're going to do something completely different. We are going to talk about a very severe crisis that affects our nations. We are going to talk about the crisis between men and women. And to discuss this crisis, I'm joined by Dan.
Hello, guys.
And by Benjamin Dichter.
It's good to see you guys again.
Hi, Benjamin. How are you?
I'm good. I'm in sunny Florida, and I don't miss UK weather, I got to be honest.
Good to see you again, Ben.
It's good to see you too,
Good man. To see you again. And today we had horrible weather. We had the pouring rain, so yeah, I miss the sun,
What's it like in Florida, Ben?
Well, right now it is raining, but they have a saying in Florida, if you don't like the weather, just wait 5 minutes.
Yes.
And I believe the sun is about to come out right now, and it's about 30 degrees, 28 degrees, something like that.
Great. So let me ask you something, Ben. Where can people find you when they want to check more?
Probably the best place is to go to Twitter/X @BJDichter, or go to honkingforfreedom.com. Which is the book we discussed when I was on with you guys on Lotus Eaters.
Yes.
Or BenjaminJDichter.com has all my links to my live streaming and all my political stuff and all my socials.
Excellent. So to the fans of Symposium, today it's not going to be very philosophical. So if you want to watch the series for the philosophy, maybe you could watch another episode. Don't tell me I didn't warn you. But we are going to apply wisdom that is timely tested and try to solve the crisis between men and women and bridge the gap between them. We will also talk about incels and how to make incels into people who have more success, let's say, at finding a good partner. And
we're solving the incel problem.
Yes, solving the incel problem and possibly building something of value and lasting. Yeah.
Small ambitions.
Yes. So small ambitions, but wherever there is will, there is a way. I'm saying this as one of the optimists of the office. And let me also say, Dan, this is our first
symposium together. Yes.
Interaction in premium content.
Oh, in premium as a whole. Quite right.
I think that I'm here for about 10 months. We've never done anything on premium. And I want to say, sorry, Josh, but I think the segment you did with Jennifer Connelly, I found it incredibly hilarious.
That one was quite popular. That sort of did numbers, that one. Yes.
Yes,
I did a segment looking at some of the world's finest women, and it turns out that Jennifer Connelly came top of the list.
Yeah. And you also expressed your dissatisfaction at the fact that Cybill Shepherd wasn't featuring in the list.
Yes, I wasn't happy about
that. For consecutive years.
That was my entrance.
Yes.
Into the pantheon, but no, didn't make it.
Excellent.
And if I can give a plug for you guys as well, you know, having spent a few days in the office with you guys and doing a couple of shows, anybody who's watching this, please consider subscribing to Lotus Eaters. It's really quite significant going in the back room and being able to interact with other people within the community. And also, I see now, you know, in real life what you guys have put together and accomplished, and quite impressive. You guys are working like dogs there, and you really believe in what you're doing. So anybody who's watching, consider supporting Lotus Eaters.
Very true.
Thank you very much. So I think we should talk about seduction and start by asking the question, what is seduction and what is male and female seduction? And I really want to hear both of your perspectives.
Do you want to start, Ben, or shall I?
You start.
So I'm going to break it down. There's a definite distinct difference between the roles of seduction for men and women. I mean, for women, for the most part, it's just going to be being available and indicating that you're available, and that should pretty much do the trick to a guy who's plugged in. The only caveat I'll give to that is a lot of the time the reason why women might need to deploy seduction is because they are going after a slightly demographic, and what I'm talking about is basically men who already involved in a relationship. For whatever reason, when men are involved in a relationship of any sort, that seems to trigger something in the female psyche, whether it's social proof or a form of validation or a form of checking, you know, this guy has been vetted to some extent. That seems to notch him up the hierarchy. So female seduction might be deployed a little bit more overtly in those cases, in order to try and woo somebody who might not look to make that advance. For the rest of the time, I think it's basically going to be, and I'll hear your views if there's anything I'm not considered on this. Most of the time, it's basically just going to be the subtlest effort required to indicate that an advance should be made.
Okay.
Should we respond to that before we go on to male seduction?
Yeah. If I can just weigh in
please
there.
Please do.
Boy, you know. The British are so eloquent with their language. I'm going to give you the North American perspective, I guess, which is always short and sweet. It's just the sales and marketing technique that men and women use to attract the opposite sex. That's it.
That's on point. I like that. Yes. Also explains Instagram quite well.
Yes, it does.
And actually, women's use of Twitter as well. I've noticed that a lot, you know. I mean, I saw a tweet the other day, and I'm gonna reduce it, you know, somewhat. But it was basically a short personal message, which was quite tragic, accompanied by a photo, which the top commenter underneath responded to as, "It's very sad. My dad died, and also here are my tits," which is. which is exactly actually what the tweet was. You know, I see that a lot, but there's a lot of this kind of advertising through these media where men just sort of go to them to have a sort of good argument.
The problem with the pity and it's sort of the pity sale that women give, and you know how horrible their life is or the circumstances they're dealing with, is that is only going to appeal to the sort of beta male type person that they're not going to be attracted to. Mm. And that's where you find this disconnect in the two approaches that men or women are using. Not only do men have to consider what sort of strategies they use in communication to women, but women need to start doing this as well, because they keep putting out, you know, messaging and strategies that are attracting people that they'll never be attracted to. And then we wonder why people aren't finding each other.
I want to confirm what you are saying. At least a lot of women are doing. And I won't say that I had been friend-zoned by a woman for years. And then when I started dating my fiancé, we're together for 9.5 years now. When I started dating my fiancé, that woman, she tried to pursue me. So for years, I was friend-zoned. When I suddenly started dating my fiancé, she just instantly got mad and went after me. I had to say,
you're not the first person to be through that.
Yes.
I've got some thoughts on this whole friend zoning thing. I suspect that the men who are getting trapped in that are often perhaps deploying the wrong strategies. And it's something along the lines of, what is it that we think that appeals to the opposite gender? And they really are an opposite gender. They respond to different things. So we like women's femininity and their softness. you know, the very feminist aspects of it, and a lot of that, you, what you associate with those feminine aspects is going to be, you know, communication and empathy and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes I see guys who are trying to, you know, win over women by displaying characteristics that lean more in that direction. So being a good listener for her, being supportive for her, all of those kind of things. What they actually respond to is our masculinity, our roughness, our directness.
Yes. So I was thinking about this, and Ben, tell me what you think about the friend zoning. I think that what you described before about women who are trying to employ this strategy seems more to me like a strategy for creating a friend zone, so that they have men who admire them and basically pander their ego. And when they have this, they feel better about themselves, and then they pursue other guys. That's the way I see it. Do you think that's wrong?
I think that's entirely accurate. And also the reason, I mean, I haven't been friend zoned since I was 17 years old, was maybe the last time that that happened. But I think
hashtag never again. This is
going to get ADL over you. It's like, I'll protect you.
Yeah.
But it's because men show weakness when you're like, you know, the caring, supportive friend guy, whatever, you're a weakling. You're a nothing. That's what you're showing them. Cause men want strength. Sorry. Women want strength. They want men who will lead. And something that I've learned in all this, especially in the last few years that I've been single, the more woke supremacist a woman is, the more alpha the guy she's attracted to. It's the ultimate shit test is what we're dealing with. And guys are falling for it. And, you know, I spoke to my friend's daughter who's at a university yesterday asking me dating advice. And she's, you know, all these guys are weak. It's like, yeah, that's why they can't get anybody. Because they bought into this whole toxic masculinity frame. When at the end of the day, whether women want to admit it or not, that's what they're attracted to. Because as E.O. Wilson said, the genes hold culture on a leash. And we all have an intrinsic character, you know?
That's a really good saying. Genes hold culture on a leash. Yes, there's no getting away from that at the end of the day. It reminds me of another quote I heard recently that sounded quite good, which is essentially society is downstream of what hot women want. Or, you know, words to that effect. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I think a lot of what's happening here, and it's probably an element of the whole, you know, incel problem as well, is a lot of these men are trying to rationalize, you know, what is it that women want? And they're approaching this in the same way as a fisherman trying to ask the fish how to fish. You know, they're picking up on, you know, women seem to like empathy and good communication and softness and understanding and listening and all of that kind of stuff. And so when they attempt to pursue women for the first time or maybe for a longer time, they start to display these feminine characteristics. They try and be a good listener for her. They try and be supportive for her. They basically try and become another girlfriend for her. And those things don't particularly work. What works is the guy who says, you know, I can't be bothered with any of that. And it's just, you know, he's very direct. He's very masculine. And, you know, he mightn't express an interest if he sort of gets led down the garden path of, let's have a conversation. He's just going to go and he's going to do something else with his time.
I want to say one thing, and I think that maybe you will disagree with me. But for me, it's not so much the listening bit. I don't think that it's a problem if guys can listen to a woman. I think it's the whole of character. So it's fine to be able to listen, but don't listen alone. Don't just listen.
So I make it an active goal of mine to every year reduce the amount of listening that I do.
Okay.
And I've been married for many years now. And I actually found the way to do this because, you know, married couples tend to argue from time to time. And I started off responding to this kind of stuff by actually listening to what she was saying. And because, of course, it was coming from a woman, it was absolutely ridden with logical inconsistencies and errors and all that kind of stuff. And I would respond to it a bit like a lawyer would. I'd be like, you see, well, you said that, and then, well, this connects to that, and then that doesn't make sense. And if you bear in mind this, and I basically deconstruct the entire argument, right? Basically, turns out that doesn't work. You know, the argument would just change and become even more ridiculous to the point where it's like, I'm sorry, even a woman couldn't believe this. And it was only later, after being married for a while, that I started to realise that the words that she's saying genuinely don't matter. All it is a security issue. Now, I think with women, the whole thing ultimately comes down to either validation and security. And maybe it's more about validation and attention in the early years, maybe when they're in their 20s. And at some point in the 30s, it flips over to this more security thing. So now, whenever the wife starts up with, you know, some damn fool notion that I have to listen to that I'm being berated for, I just don't listen to any of it. I just go over and give her a hug and a kiss and say, I love you, and we're going to spend the rest of our lives together. And then whatever the damn thing was, it just stops. And then she's happier and I'm happy because I haven't had to listen to anything.
Okay, I think I should qualify, because the question is, listen to what? I think there are, first of all, I don't know if the example you are giving exhausts all cases where men listen to women.
Are you going to make the argument that
occasionally
you might want to listen to a woman?
Yes.
Go on then. This would be a good...
No, I just think it in some cases it works. But when I say listen, I'm not talking about trying to give the signal that I'm here for you to listen to anything you want to tell me, and I'm here to be basically your crying pillow. For me, that's it. You can talk to women about things. You can ask them about, you know, how was your day, what you want to do and stuff. So long as you don't exaggerate and show that, for instance, every time you want to complain about something, I'll pick up the phone, I'll immediately stop what I'm doing, and I'll give priority to you. So for me, that's the issue. It's not so much about not listening, as much as showing that there are other things going on in your life.
But to be fair, always going to be done better by another woman.
Okay, hold on. If I can just interject here, yes. I think the problem is the two of you are having two different conversations. So Stelios, you're talking about, you know, at the beginning or friendship or what builds into a relationship.
Yeah.
Dan is talking about what you're in when you're in a relationship, in a long-term relationship, which we've all had very long relationships. And I'm going to give every man who's in a relationship and any woman who's watching this, I'm telling you, they're nodding their heads when I say this. Because every woman will agree, when she comes home from work or the end of the day or whatever, and she's releasing the pressure valve of all the emotional stresses she's endured that day, or things that are bothering her, or friends, or things at work, or whatever, you know what she doesn't want? She doesn't want advice.
Solutions,
she doesn't
yes.
want somebody to tell her what she should be doing. She just wants somebody to say, I'm here, I'm listening, keep going. I'm listening, go ahead, talk. And they will, you know, they'll release that pressure valve for 30 minutes, sometimes 2 hours. And then after that, when it's all out of their system, then they calm back and get to normal. Because women, you know, they live in very different worlds than men do. We have different issues that we all deal with, and that's how they deal with it. But so many men are problem solvers, right? So when we hear a woman comes to us and say, oh, my day was terrible because this,
we start trying to solve it for them, don't we?
That's right. Well,
you start trying to give them solutions.
Things,
you should have done this and so on.
Exactly. Mm. And that will destroy any relationship over the long term.
Yes.
That's different than when you're forming a relationship and you're getting to know somebody and you have, you know, that the early stages of communication. Yeah, listening is important because you need to listen to that person. Why? Because that's how you develop chemistry. You develop chemistry when you have a similar emotional state and a similar worldview. So those are just two completely different scenarios, at least from my perspective.
Yes, I agree with all of that, apart from the bit about the actually listening for that 2 hours. I mean, I think you can you can do a face thing that sort of implies heavily that you are listening, and just the occasional nod or something. Yes.
It just depends how much bandwidth you have, right?
Yes.
I must say that I've also suffered this, and my fiance, she loves complaining every now and then. And I definitely understand when she does so, because she wants to just complain and to, as you said, release some pressure, and when she does it because there is an actual issue. I think that I think that it's important to develop the ability to discern between these two. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why I sort of, you know, I make the point that, you know, a woman will always do this job better unless there is an actual problem. So when it just comes to the random venting, I sort of encourage that to be done elsewhere. You know, get one of your woman friends to listen to you to vent about stuff, because I just genuinely have no interest in it. But if it's an actual problem that needs to be solved in some way, then I'm quite happy to respond to that. And if it's just a little bit of the woman stuff, then I can just do the face that looks like I'm sort of... Yeah. Oh, yes. And, you know, that kind of thing.
Great. Mm. I must say, though, that I didn't mean to devalue what you said before. I just wanted...
Oh, did you? I didn't notice.
No, I just wanted to examine the whole situation from various perspectives. Mm. You know, and because I think I think you're correct, Ben. We were having two distinct conversations. Me and Dan.
And this just goes to show the nature of relationships with men and women are very, very complex. They're all different, and it just depends, you know, the type of archetype that you are and the type of person that you're in a relationship. And, you know, this whole thing that, oh, there's one person or one type of person for everybody, that's complete nonsense. You can develop chemistry with just about everybody if you know how to do it. Mm. And it's just a matter of choosing the type of person that you want to have chemistry with that's going to be better over the long term. And that's a skill you have to develop, right? And you develop that skill with practice over time, which is why this whole incel thing that is developing is concerning. But I also think it's something we can solve relatively easily.
Okay, so let me ask you something, Ben. You mentioned before marketing strategies. Do you want to elaborate on that idea? Because I think it has plenty of meat there.
I mean, anytime you talk about different, it's complex, right? It boils down to the individual, who you are, and who you're trying to attract. Like, for example, this girl who I met, I don't know, a year and a half ago or whatever, she's gorgeous, totally my type physically, into a lot of the many things I'm into, but she's a moron. And my problem is... Like, I'm a little bit, you know, you hear that term from women that are, you know, sapiosexual. They like people who are intellectually intelligent. And that's just who I jive with. I need to develop chemistry with women. They don't have to be academics, but they have to have a brain and some street smarts and understand how the world really works. And I can meet a girl that has a checklist, all the things that I think are ideally what I want. But then when you realize she's a moron... It's never going to happen. It's a waste of my time. But many guys, especially when you don't have a lot of experience and you don't have a lot of options, you're going to start. This is where you get guys who are obsessed and creep women out. They'll keep chasing her over and over again when, buddy, just cut the cord. That's not the type of character type that you're going to resonate with. So you got to understand yourself. Once you understand yourself, then you can, like any sort of marketing and sales strategies, you can figure out, okay, what do I pair up with, right? I like sports cars. So I pair up nicely with a sports car, not with a pickup truck. So I'm going to go, it's the same sort of thing with women. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I dated a girl like that once. Not just once, but this particular case I'm thinking of, she was absolutely stunning. I mean, the sort of girl that you wouldn't bother queuing for a nightclub with. You just walk straight to the front because you were definitely going to be let in. But I found I could only ever sort of do things like take her to the cinema or stuff like that,
because every time, as long as she wasn't talking.
Yes, because I think the last date I managed, she started telling me about how she connected with Mother Gaia and she was a moon goddess or some sort of bollocks like that or something. And it was just like, yeah, okay, you're unbelievably stunning, but you've got to go because I'm just not listening to this.
Yeah. Sorry, that's just funny.
Hmm.
Yeah. So let me just talk a bit about inceldom, because I think that this is the major problem that we need to talk about. And I want to say that I have a friend who has been an incel for years, and it is completely tyrannizing him. And we are talking about inceldom for years and years and years. And I try to get him to see the light, and he just doesn't.
May I ask how old this person is? Because I think it makes a difference if he's 18 or 28.
No, he's not 18. He's around 29, 30,
right, okay.
Somewhere there.
That's not good.
Well, I don't think everything is lost, but I just have experience from this. I know that, you know, this is tyrannizing people. And, you know, as a group, you could say that they get frequently lambasted and they get all sorts of accusations thrown at them.
But, now, but this is not a small group anymore. I think I remember seeing numbers that something like 29% of men in the 18 to 29 group or something had, you know, zero partners ever. So he I mean, he is by no means alone.
No, he's by no means alone. And it actually becomes a very big problem in society as well. It has all sorts of social ramifications that are important to address. But the point is how to address, you know, individual incels with this and try to get them to actually listen to to good advice by something that isn't just designed to make them
I've got
because this is not, the symposium is not just dating advice series. It's, you know.
So I've got some thoughts on this. I'm going to have to word this very carefully so that I don't get in trouble. But I'm drawing an analogy to, did you ever watch that series with Cesar Millan where he was the dog trainer and he would go into these homes and you'd have these troubled dogs? Now, the reason I bring him up is because a lot of the incels, and I see them in the comments of our videos all the time, they immediately go to, these are the things that are wrong with women. And they start listing these things. Now, actually, quite often those things might be true. Doesn't bloody matter. The point with the Cesar Millan video is he would go into these troubled dogs' homes and then he would start behaving the way that you should behave, and the dogs pretty much instantly fell into line. I mean, there was one or two, you know, nut jobs who had been psychologically damaged who he couldn't reach. But for the most part, he went in there and started behaving like an alpha, and straight away the dog was responding as it should. The point I make with the incel problem is I think it is a product of the culture in many ways. But the underlying problem is that essentially these men are then they need to change themselves. That's the only thing that's going to work in these things. And those changes could probably be fairly simple. The problem they've got is that society is bombarding them with messaging, which is taking them up the wrong path. It's a thing that I started to talk about earlier, that, you know, I think a lot of them think that the way to connect with women is through female traits. It is being, you know, that empathetic listener, but it is being another one of her girlfriends. She doesn't want another girlfriend, or she might want another girlfriend in male form, because it gives her that validation and attention, but she's not going to be desirous of another girlfriend. You have to sort of build up those masculine traits. Do you think I'm getting the mark about right here, Ben?
No, I think you're right. And I think there's also something else that when you know, the excuse of women have ABC set of problems, that's all bullocks, as you guys would call it. Because when you have when you have enough experience with women, you start to like the craziness, you know, and you learn that, okay, Latinas are a little different than Asian girls, and they all kind of have different cultural behavioral differences. And, you know, if I'm dating a girl who's Latina and of course she's going to yell at me, because that's what they do. You know, they'll yell and scream in Spanish and then they'll calm down 3 seconds later. I think Greek girls are like that too, from my experience, right? Yeah. So you learn that those things are a little bit charming. That's just kind of the character, the culture that they come from. Hmm. And it doesn't bother you. It doesn't, you know what I mean? But I think there's a couple of problems. First, you know, to steel man, or at least support the incel issue is I think a lot of this comes from legislation and Me Too. You guys know I produce a podcast with Diana Davison, who was a men's rights activist many years before she became a legal researcher. So I've seen a lot of what goes on, and you know, it's a lot of people say, "Well, why aren't you married?" I'm like, "Well, you fix your courts, and then maybe we'll discuss it, right?" And I'm not firmly adhering to that, but that's just kind of the pushback when people say that. But also on the incel side, you know why they're incels? Because they're lazy. They're just, pardon me, but they're really effing lazy. It takes time. It takes practice. You have to learn the psychology of women. You need to learn the game theory of entering the dating world. And it's not easy, you know? And I think the other problem is the label of incel is also fueling this. We all had friends, I'm sure you did too, in high school that couldn't get a girl if their life depended upon it. Didn't matter what, they were just socially awkward, right? But you know what? They tried and tried and tried, and eventually in their early 20s or whatever, finally, they'd find some girl who found some charm in the fact that they're somewhat maybe recluse, maybe a video gamer or whatever. They'll find a guy that has shared interests, and then guess what's going to happen? They're going to have a girlfriend. It just takes time. It's probabilities and numbers. But I think a lot of it is part of the gaming culture of, I'm just going to sit in front of my gaming PC all day long. I'm not going to invest any time in learning the game theory of how to communicate with women. And then I'm going to bitch and complain about how women are all the problems in my life. So I think that's really at the core of this.
Maybe this is a good time to maybe this is a good time to touch on some of those aspects of what you know, what are the factors in seduction. Now, you know, the first thing I'll say in that respect, and this does follow through from what you're saying, Ben, I will come to it.
Yeah.
Probably we have to acknowledge the first and most important factor is physical appearance. For men and women, I would say. For women, maybe it's on a par with confidence and, you know, character and all that kind of stuff. But generally, it is going to be physical appearance. You know, and we are all dealt different cards on this. I hear the short guys complain that, you know, there's nothing they can do about it. But no, you can still get down the gym. I don't think that's as big a factor as they want to make it out to be. You know, if you're a younger guy and you've got bad skin, that will improve. I mean, you know, whatever it is, I mean, you can't change your race, but I mean, you know, there are some people who are not going to be attracted to you for whatever reason. But you know, all of these things I think can be managed around. And certainly you can, very much as a man, you can improve yourself in this respect for just, you know, relatively simple diet control and getting yourself down to the gym. The other aspect is, of course, going to be that those social skills. Now, these I think you need to be working on very much anyway, because social skills are absolutely crucial in business, in career, and also in mating. I think it is probably the most significant factor in the career you have. So I've had a career in finance and venture capital, and I've seen a lot of different businesses. I can tell you definitely, having been involved in hundreds of different businesses, technical skill is not the key determinant in your career success. You know, the knowledge that you have, your experience, none of these things for me, it really is those social skills. It is the people who can display those characteristics of, I can get things done. And how do you get things done in a world like ours? Well, a world like ours is made up of people. You get things done by being able to influence people, being able to bring people around to things, getting, you know, selling, whatever it is. So developing those social skills are absolutely crucial. If you have a strong set of social skills, you are going to succeed in business and in love as well. Because a lot of the time I hear these conversations about what's going on in dating and about, oh, okay, how can I, you know, attract women and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if I even necessarily want to distinguish it that much. If you can, you know, attract people, and I'm not talking about, you know, romantic attraction, but if you can just be the sort of person that people want to have a conversation with, people that, you know, the sort of person somebody wants to have a pint with, whether it's male or female, that translates across both genders. So this is a set of skills that you're going to need to build up. And your point about being lazy, what you were talking about, people being in front of that PC and so on and having all of their interactions, because they can have all of their social interactions there now. Their PC can be their excitement. Instead of going out into the world and doing something exciting, you can play a video game. Instead of, you know, traveling, you can look up places on the internet. Instead of going and having a social experience, you can join a forum or a, you know, a Discord server or whatever it else. It has become such an easy substitute for all of those things that you need to do. My argument on a lot of this stuff is you just need to make yourself a more rounded personality. Now, I spend a lot of time in front of a computer myself, so I've got nothing against this. I'm just saying that you need to sort of put yourself out there and do things. And in terms of your being lazy, I would say go out there and find something that you can engage yourself with in a social setting, whatever it is, but just keep having conversations and get well, you know, maybe get a sales job. Maybe that's the easiest way for these people to approach it, but just get that persuasion, those social skills up.
This is exactly what I have been talking about. And I'm really happy that both of you are in this conversation, because this is exactly what I want. I want tough love kind of advice. And I think that this is the kind of advice that will cure insulin. And thank both of you for doing this. So I want to say something a bit weird, that the person I have in mind is not a gamer and is not compulsively and obsessively in front of computers. But still, there are issues with social skills. And I absolutely agree with you that social skills are just 110% of what is needed. It's just, that's all. I think that's all. It's the cultivation of social skills and the repeated exercise of them. At some point, it will work.
Yeah, I mean, I would want to throw a bit of the physical in there as well. I mean, I'd want a bit of gym work, you know, a bit of personal care, a bit of grooming, you know, skincare, whatever it was. I'd want an element of that as well. But yeah, I mean, if I had to put one thing ahead of anything else, you know, let's say, you know, we were each given an incel for a year, and we had to, you know, like a little Tamagotchi, and we had to do something with it, you know, and one of us, you know, picked one of us picked, okay, I'm going to take my incel, and I can only do one thing. I'm going to take him to the gym. You know, one of us said, okay, I'm going to improve his social skills by, you know, getting him a sales job or bartending. Yeah, something like that. You know, yeah. I would put my money on the one who's developed those social skills.
So, do you think that there? Well, that's a weird way to phrase the question, because incels do sabotage themselves. So I want to ask you, what do you think are the main aspects of this kind of self-sabotage? Why are they doing it, or how are they doing it? The why is a really big question. We don't need to enter into that deep psychology because we don't know each specific case of incel. But how are they self-sabotaging themselves?
So I want to say that the first line of sabotage is probably what the culture's doing to them, which is the promotion of feminine modes of behavior and communication as the standard. So boys in school who behave like boys are increasingly treated like defective girls. You know, the learning structures, you know, we're going to take a bunch of rambunctious young boys and we're going to make them sit very still for 7 hours while we talk at them, and get them to discuss their feelings and the problems of the world and stuff like that. And then we're going to wonder why they're, you know, bouncing off the walls and this doesn't work. You know, schooling, especially the early stages, is dominated by women. I can give one example of a good teacher that I had that recognised this dynamic, and only one example. And in fact, I'll give that because it makes the case so well. We were looking at a book, Lord of the Flies, and he wanted people to read that book. And so he didn't actually do it by gender, but all the girls picked one and all the boys picked the other one. And the two ways was, one of them was something about describe the relationship between this character and this character and how they felt. Obviously, all the girls picked that one. And the boys' one was make a map of the island, which is actually really hard in that book because it's never explicit. You have to infer it from sentences like, you know, the sun was behind them at certain points. So you have to really read the book. But that is absolutely a sort of a boy's mode, you know. That was one example that I ever saw in my own education, and I can only imagine it's got significantly worse today. So we've got a whole culture that, from the schooling age, and then through all media and through all TV and all messaging, it is all pushing boys to become more and more like girls. Now, what that means is that you then get a whole generation of young men who try and communicate in feminine terms. That doesn't work because what women respond to is masculinity. So that, I would say, is the first layer of sabotage. And actually, I'm not placing that on the incels themselves, although everything after that point I do place on them.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.